If you would, open your Bible to Mark chapter 4. It's so good to see you all again. I've looked forward to this for some time. And I pray that our Lord would be pleased to meet with us and He would allow us to worship Him. I pray He'd speak through His gospel and speak to your heart, and that He would comfort you. And if you see Him, like Marvin said, nothing else won't matter. It just all fades into the distance. But we're going to read verses 35 through verse 40. It says in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, "And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them," he saith unto the disciples, "let us pass over unto the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude that had been following our Lord, that he had been preaching to all day, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they said unto him, "Master," now notice that statement, "carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose and rebuked the wind and the waves, the wind, and said unto the sea, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I want us to look at these verses tonight as our Lord was on this voyage with his disciples, and they were in this storm. This account is listed in three Gospels. In Matthew's account, it says in chapter 8, verse 24, "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea." Then in Luke 8, 23, "But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake." And the disciples actually thought they were going to perish. Now remember, four of these men are very experienced fishermen. They've been on this lake probably since they were children. Peter and Andrew and James and John. And this storm was not just any storm. It was something they'd never seen before, something they'd never went through before. And they actually think they're going to perish. Then when they go to wake our Lord up, because he's asleep, he's not disturbed, they ask this question, "Do you not care that we perish? You're laying here asleep. You're acting like that you don't care." "Oh, he cares, okay." And then he walks out in spite of all their unbelief. And I can imagine standing there, his hair just soaked with water. And here's the title of the message. He said, "Peace, be still." And there was a great calm. I want you to look back at verse 1 of this chapter. The beginning of this chapter, it finds our Lord on the sea. Now what was happening, they were so many people that were coming to hear our Lord and wanted to hear him preach. The common people heard him gladly. There's no way he can preach with all these people around him. Just no way they could hear him. So you know what he did? One of the gospel accounts said there was a little boat sitting there, a little ship. And he gets in the ship and goes out from the shore just a little bit so everybody can see him. and they can hear him. And he made a pulpit out of that ship and preached to them on a sea. And now we see him again. He's on this sea, and where he's going over to the Gadarene country. You remember that story, how he delivered that man that was possessed of a devil. What I first want us to see is our Lord, our Savior, he is a real man. He is God. He never ceased to be God. Someone said he's 100% God and he's 100% man. He had been teaching. He preached the sermon on the parable of the sower. That morning he began as he preached from the sea. And now it's evening. The work's not done. We're going to the other side of the lake. You imagine just how tired his body is. And John 4, it said he was weary from his journey. Why is that important? He's able to be felt with the feelings of your infirmities. They're going to go into the storm, but he's there with them. He knows what they feel. I don't know what you're going through, but he does. He knows exactly how you feel. You know why? He's felt it. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And now that the day has come to an end, they're going to the other side of the sea. And our Lord gets into the ship. And he probably don't even have to tell those four fishermen, y'all take care of this. They can sail this ship. And you know what he does? He goes and lays down. And he's so tired. He goes to sleep. Now we know our great God never slumbers nor sleeps. But here, why did he go to sleep? Well, why do you sleep? You're tired. He was tired. He was exhausted. But even in the midst of the storm, he never wakes up. It's found there in Psalms 121, verse 4, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Our Lord uses means. He used that little ship on the edge of the shore as a pulpit. And now he's going to use this ship. And in this ship, he's going to teach these men. And he's going to teach us some lessons. Lessons that they couldn't learn on the shore. He's going to teach them on the sea. And in the sea. And he's going to use this ship to take them. They didn't walk around the lake. He used this means. That was the means they had. And God gives us means today. And we use the means that we have. Someone was talking about messages on sermon audio. Years ago, we never had those. We do now. And it is a means where we can use to send the gospel all over the world. Something about this sea. Sometimes it's called the Sea of Gennesaret, the Sea of Tiberias. Here it is, the Sea of Galilee. Let me just give you, I thought this was interesting. It's really not that large a lake. It's 8 miles wide, 12 miles long, but this is interesting. It's 200 feet deep. That's pretty deep for a lake. And what would happen is, it's so far, I think it's 700 feet below sea level. So what would happen is when these winds would come over these mountains and come down on this lake, that's why these storms would come up. You have such violent storms because you have two opposite forces. You have cold air and you have warm air. You know why we have so many storms? It's because it's two opposites. It's called good and evil. It's called the sea of the children of Christ and the seed of Satan, that opposition. It's like, you know, all of a sudden you see an evening, it's maybe been a hot day, real hot, and all of a sudden a cold front comes through. Now look at the clouds begin to gather. The wind begins to blow. The lightning and the thunder. Why? They're clashing. That's what's going on here. These storms. As we live in this world, it's like a voyage across the sea. When they got into the ship, I can see the wind was calm. The sea was still. But as soon as they set sail, here come the storm. It came up all of a sudden, and it came up unexpected. It's like when you least expect it. Marvin, where in the world did this come from? Someone said it could have been so violent like a hurricane with rain and winds. And the waves were probably massive. These are expert men. They had been in storms before, but nothing like this before. You know, many times we think we can handle things, don't we? You let him send a big storm. I remember I've said this I don't know how many times when I used to pastor a group back in North Carolina. I said, you know, most of us could recite Romans 8:28. I said, you wait till you get in the midst of a storm. Then we find out then whether we really believe in God or not. Our Lord sent them into this storm. This is no accident. It came on providence. It didn't come by chance. Didn't come by the power of Satan. It came on purpose. It came as a trial of their faith. And let me say this. If you have faith, God gave it to you. If you keep faith, God maintains it. But you have to believe. He won't believe for you. And your faith is going to be tried. And what are you going to do? You're going to either believe him or not. There's no middle ground. It's either faith or unbelief. I can tell you this. Our lives are filled with storms. You know why they were in this storm? Because they were obeying our Lord. It's not because they was in disobedience. It was because he said, get into the ship. And they went directly into the storms. Something else. Believers are not exempt from storms. Some people think they are. I remember when my first wife, when she got sick, you know, religious people come and they... You know how they talk. They'd say, I can't understand why bad things happen to good people. Well, explain to me why good things happen to bad people. We live in this world of storms. And it happens on purpose. And God enables us. Listen to me. He enables us to deal with it. He enables us to bear it. Not one of the disciples perished in this storm. That can't be. And we go through them. Your life and my life both is just filled with doubts and fears. I wished it wasn't so. Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Like I said, we may say we believe God. Peter, I believe he meant every word of it when he said, Lord, everybody else may depart from him, but I won't. I believe he meant it. But it didn't take him long to deny him, did it? This world is like a troubled sea. It is never at rest. Now, you remember that. It is never at rest. Like I said, these men, they had experienced storms. I can see the other disciples looking at the four men who knew how to manage a boat, knew how to sail, how to move it through the storm. I can see the other guys saying, "Do y'all not know what to do? Come on, get us out of this." And I'd say the harder they tried to resist, the worse it got. Turn with me to Psalms 107. I want to show you this. Psalms 107, verse 23. "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, in those great waters, they see the works of the Lord." And what else do they see? His wonders in the deep. "For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy winds." It obeys his command. "Which lifts up the waves thereof. The waves mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble." You see the picture here. It's a picture of a man's soul that's in trouble. God commands the stormy winds to arise, and these things come against it, and their soul is melted. Their human strength is melted. Their reasoning is melted because of trouble. "They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunk man." And I want you to see this. And here's where these men were at. And they are at their wit's end. Almost to the point of going insane. At my wits. What am I to do? What are we going to do? Well, what do they do? Look at verse 28. "Then, and not till then." You know when you're going to cry out to the Lord? I mean, you know when we know how to say prayers. We know how to repeat things. We can say things when our lips, but I think, you know, when we really pray, we're at our wit's end. It's like Peter, he didn't say a long prayer when he was walking on the water and began to sink. He just said, "Lord, save me." The thief on the cross said, "Lord, remember me." "Then they cry unto the Lord." They're not crying out to some false god. They know who sent the storm. They know. They know he's the only one that can help them. Then they cry unto the Lord. And when? In their trouble. And did he hear them? "Yes, he bringeth them out of their distress. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them into their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonders to the children of men." Robert Hawker said, "Our lives are in jeopardy every hour because of sin and the storms and the tempest of our unruly passions and the malice of the world and the fury of the enemy." Some of you, I don't know if you noticed it, but this was probably not the only ship on the sea that night. It says there were other little ships with them. So if the storm came against this ship, it come against the others also. But it come for the benefit of these. I wonder how many, I just Wonder how many may have perished that night in this storm. Their boats were affected by the very same storm. But these were preserved. Why? Christ was in this ship. This storm was sent. It was sent for them. I don't know what you're facing, but I know it was sent just for you. Just for you. Someone said our storms usually come from two different sources. When the wind of circumstances from without are contrary to our thinking. Why is this going on? Why are these winds? Why does it seem like it's blowing against me? You ever felt that way? Jacob did. When the boys come back from Egypt, and you know, he thinks Joseph's dead, and they left Simeon in Egypt, and they come back, and they said, the man in Egypt said, unless we bring Benjamin, we're not getting any corn. And Jacob said, all this is against me. You know what that was? It was a storm. What am I going to do? Well, till we turn loose of Benjamin, we're not getting anything to eat. God sent this storm for them. Why? To bring them to Egypt. To bring them to Joseph. You know why he sends the storm? To bring you to his son, that's why. To bring you to the place where you do cry out for mercy. And until he puts you in that place, you won't cry out. I'm telling you, you just won't. We may cry out some little cry, some false repentance. Godly sorrow works repentance not to be repented of. I can imagine them disciples. You know, I want faith. Why do I feel this way in the midst of this storm? I can't handle it. But here's the amazing thing. Christ is in the ship with them. But you know, they must have forgot it. How many times do we forget? We know these things. And we forget. Well, where's he at? Where is our Lord? They hadn't looked for him before. Now they go looking for him. Where's he at? Well, where's the captain of the ship at? He's in the hinder part of the ship. He guides the ship. And that's where he is. There. He's just asleep. Says in Luke 8:24, and they came to him and awoke him. Said, Master, we're perishing. I can see the boat maybe almost plumb full of water. What are we going to do? And they asked him that question. Can you imagine asking our Lord that question? Can you imagine the ones that are asking this question? Do you not care? Do you not care that we perish? I can say this. He cares. He cares if you make it to glory. He cares. He gave his life for you. He put away your sin debt. Do you really think? Now listen to me. Do you really think he will allow you or these disciples or me to perish? If he allows you to perish, he's a failure. If he loses one, he's a fake. He's a phony. Do you not care that we perish? Oh, yeah, he cares. He's going to show them if they are ever delivered, he must do it. That's how he saves you. That's how he teaches you that you will not perish. Our hearts are filled with fear and unbelief. Someone said, fear which drives us to Jesus is not all wrong. They cry to him, even though it is the cry of unnecessary terror. But it brings them to his feet for help. As I thought about this, you know, where it said they asked, they said, do you not care that we perish? I thought of someone else as an illustration who asked him basically similar to this question. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10, a woman named Martha. Paul read that passage in John 11 about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He loved them. He spent a lot of time at their house. And this is going to be a storm for Martha. You mean the Lord's in the house? Yes. And she can be in the midst of a storm? Yes. Doing something well and commendable? Yes. Now it came to pass, Luke 10:38. Now it came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him unto her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. I want you to get the picture. I don't know how many they were, if it was our Lord and all his disciples, and there was probably a few more. You can imagine, ladies, if somebody shows up to your house, you know the first thing you're going to do, well, what am I going to fix them? What am I going to prepare for the meal? And Mary, you know what Mary does? Mary goes in there and sits down in the living room at our Lord's feet and just sitting there listening, just listening. And the more Martha works, the madder she gets. Look at that. Here I am in here working, fixing all this food for all these people, taking them drinks and everything. And Mary's just sitting down there doing nothing. Because it said, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. And she walks right in there. I can picture her walking in there to the living room. And she said, do you not care that I'm doing this by myself? Do you not care that my sisters left me to serve alone? Do you not care? Can you imagine saying that to our Lord in front of all these people? Did this woman love the Lord? Yes. Did he love her? Yes. You see what I'm saying? When you least expect it. You said, I would never act like that. Now, come on now. We all would. And she's in a storm. And she loses her temper. But our Lord in his grace answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. A lot of our trouble comes because we're so cumbered about many things. And there's only one thing that's needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part. And she had chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. Martha couldn't enjoy her Lord being in her house and being able to fix some supper because her sister wouldn't help her. You know, it doesn't say this, but I could see some of those disciples says, why don't you get up and come over here and help me do this? Why don't you shovel some of that water out of this boat? Let me tell you a secret. Now, everybody listening to me, we're all in the same ship. He's the captain of the whole ship. If we make it to glory, it's because of his grace. His grace. Our Lord said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Turn with me to Isaiah 41:10. When we think the Lord doesn't care, He does. It says in Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Then over chapter 43, verse 2. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overthrow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." You remember the song we sung just a little bit ago? How firm a foundation. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow, for I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and I'll sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. Now I want you to see this. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake. Why do you keep repeating it? Because we keep forgetting it. We said, "I won't leave you." And in the midst of the storm, these men are just terrified. And they wake him up and say, "Lord, do you not care?" He's going to show them his grace. And he's going to show them that he cares. And it said, and he arose. Thank goodness he did. You imagine what they thought, just applying this when our Lord rose from the dead. Well, where's he at? You know, they just didn't quite get it, that our Lord's going to die, that he must suffer and die, be buried, and rise again. Even when they said he's risen, they said the women came and said he's rose. We don't believe it. He arose. And you know what he did? He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." When your conscience is just in a mess and you're at your wit's end and you don't know which way to turn, and you cry out to him in mercy and grace, and he speaks to your conscience, to that storm in your mind, and he says, "Peace. Could have heard a pin drop. Someone said, how often we are taught the folly of our fears by experiencing some swift, gracious deliverance. In the midst of all their unbelief, I know we must believe the Lord, but let me tell you, if it depended upon our faith, we would never be delivered. It's because of His faithfulness. His faithfulness. Why are you so fearful? This fear arose from their unbelief. These disciples are so much like us. And any one of us would have been terrified. Any one of us would have been afraid. Someone that comes to my mind is a man named Elijah. Elijah is a man that was called and raised up of God, and he stood on top of Mount Carmel against 850 false prophets, mocked them. And that evening, one old Jezebel, she said, "I'm going to kill you by tomorrow." And this same man, the next thing you read, he's sitting under a juniper tree, afraid and scared to death. This was a storm. He said, "There's nobody left but me." And the Lord says, "Wait a minute, Elijah. I've got 7,000 that have not bowed to the image of Baal." And he made him a meal, and he said, "You rise and eat and go in the strength of this 40 days. And he did. In the midst of the storm, instead of looking at the storm, instead of looking at our own weakness and our frailties and the frailty of the ship, consider the Lord. Consider Him that endures such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Then it said there that they feared exceedingly. This is a reverential fear. Peter, did you just see what he did? John, James, did you just see what he did? Did he really do that? Did he really calm that storm? Yes, he did. The lessons we learn from this passage, faith and obedience to Christ, do not exempt God's people from the storms in this world. Our Lord is a real man, thank goodness. And the Creator controls His universe. And the greatest of believers can become afraid. I think it's Psalms 1:6, I could be wrong, where David said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust the Lord." Our Lord is kind and gracious. This sea is like an emblem, a picture of our lives as they quickly pass by. Our life is just like a vapor. And you picture on the ship, you see one ship as it sails and it goes out of sight. It goes over the horizon, never to be seen again. And here comes another one. And you know, one day what's going to happen to our ship? It's going to go over the horizon. And we're going home. And then we'll be glad. You know why? No more storms. Is your soul troubled? And you don't know what to do? Cry out to the Lord in your trouble. And He can speak to your soul and say, "Peace, be still." And then you'll be glad. And He will bring you to your desired heaven. Amen.